This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Amazing time out here in Anna, Firehouse stop number 2. Nick Harris, Forward Star Telegram, Draft Show brethren.
What's up,
joining
fellas?
Us here, Sean and RJ, Zach Wolchuk in for Sean. Of course, we got the greatness that is Bobby Belt.
Yes.
How are you, Nick? Well, it still ended up being a long drive for you.
You know, I have beef with this place. Not the fire station.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, that would
yeah
be
that's
a
fight.
No, no, no.
They're
it's
big.
Yeah, I don't want to pick that fight. My hometown of Chapel Hill a couple of years ago got beat by Anna in the state championship, 26 to nothing. So this was basically like asking me to come to Busch Stadium after the 2011 World Series.
I mean, you can't finish any better than that. They finished on top because they went to 5A right
we
after
we could have finished better
no,
than
no,
that.
No, no, no. I'm talking about Anna. Anna went to 5A after that.
Yeah,
they ended their entire 4A career with that.
Some cheaters.
Before we jump into all the interview stuff, I got to give some shout-outs here. We've had Joe from Anna come out here, Jeff and Hal, and then we just said hi to Jennifer, Nick, and their little man Rhett was up here, all from Anna. So Anna's showing out here. The whole general area is showing up here. Now, Zach, you mentioned that, because we're going to talk about Amari Cooper and some other things here with Nick Harris in just a second.
Yeah.
You mentioned that he's your Draft Show brethren, and Nick was the one
why are you giggling over there?
Who was first seen on camera a couple days ago when you had this wonderful moment.
Stop.
This wonderful moment while interviewing UCLA defensive tackle, New Dallas Cowboy, Jay Toia.
All right, Jay, so can we teach the entire defensive front the haka and make sure we do this every pregame?
I mean, I'm not a haka specialist, you know. That's more like Marin's, you know. I'm Tongan, so I'm not really a haka specialist, but I think we could try.
We can try.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time.
All right,
Jay Toia joining us here on the...
Don't put the camera on. What are we doing?
If your brother's a rugby player in New England...
Oh, the double down.
Are you not?
It doesn't mean he knows how to do it.
I get okay. Well, if you're
down,
we need your brother.
Streets.
I dare you to walk up to him.
I will. I'll do it in Oxnard.
Break down and start to.
Is that racist?
No, not at all. You literally does it before every game.
That's racist, bro.
How?
That's racist, bro.
I'm Tongan, bro.
They all the same. They all do that little dance. Hey Jay, why don't you do that little dance y'all do?
I gotta step out. I'm serious.
What's that thing y'all do? The haka? Do that haka.
That was not good.
I stepped out and I went into the studio and they were all in the floor in there and I was like, I can't be in here either.
That was great.
It could have been worse though.
Yeah,
it could have been worse because Zach actually left his notes around the Draft Show studio.
Oh no!
So like he had questions prepped for so many guys that didn't end up in Dallas.
He did. Ones?
Yeah, I'm just gonna make him read some of them since I took him. This is one of the questions he had ready for Tetero and McMillan
for
if they would pick him.
Mahalo, Ted.
Oh no.
I was curious to know if those coconut bras they wear in Hawaii are real.
It just seems a little uncomfortable to ask that question. This was
Hawaiian?
Jihad Campbell ended up with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hey, careful,
but
Zach.
That's what he was going to ask to Dallas.
Jihad Campbell, congrats on being drafted. I guess just explain your name for us.
Mason Taylor, tight end that Zach was a big fan of, LSU.
Did love him, my number two tight end. Mason, is it true Jason Whitlock ruined PB&J sandwiches for you?
Wow. Had to. That peanut butter
that
skin.
Peanut butter.
Oh, man.
Isaac Kessler, really impressive wide receiver from Arkansas.
Very. Isaac, how often do people set you on fire?
Tesla, it's a big issue these days. Landon Jackson.
Wow, I get you there.
Oh, no.
Landon, what? These are Zach's questions. Don't get worked up. Landon Jackson, the defensive end from Arkansas.
Throw it on me. Where the hell is your hair, bro? You got that Jada Pinkett disease or what?
Wait a second.
Zach. What the hell? That's an offensive thing to like.
Is that
to prep for that, to write that question.
I feel like Jada Pinkett was fair game.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's just
after her entanglement.
Yeah, exactly. And then this was the last, the very first pick of the fourth round. Chimiri Dike.
Okay. Are you sure? Are you sure you're saying your last name right?
So those, I'm glad it just ended up with Jay Toye and the Hawkins.
Yeah.
That could have been really uncomfortable.
Yep, thank God. Thank God for that.
Jeez. Amari Cooper.
So dangerous.
Let's talk about Amari Cooper here with Nick Harris.
Very dangerous. Feels so good
Nick,
on me, Jones.
This is something where I think a lot of people wondered, have there been too many hurt feelings for Amari Cooper to reconcile with this team? Is that even going to be possible? But, you know, you've said that this is somebody that is absolutely on the radar for the Cowboys, as they still haven't filled that wide receiver two hole.
Yeah, absolutely. Going into the fifth round on day three, well, going into the first round, we could start there. Teterow McMillan was the top target going into the night, being like, hey, if he's there at 12, it's an easy turn-in for us. We don't need to wait for the phone to ring for a trade back. You know, we're going to make this happen. Obviously, he was not there. He goes to the Carolina Panthers. What was that, at pick number 8? And They pick Booker, so they go into day 2, don't get a receiver. Go into day 3, they have an opportunity in the 5th round to pick a receiver in that instance. Instead, they go with Shamar James. And after that, receiver was off the board for the rest of the draft. And so, you know, when I put in the article on Monday that Amari Cooper has had building interest, coming out of the draft, it's like, okay, we need to look around to see who are available as far as trade targets. They had already been doing work ahead of the draft in that sense. And then obviously the free agent market. Amari Cooper was a name that was getting tossed around before the draft. But since the draft, I say building team interest because they don't have a receiver coming out of the draft. And so there's plenty of options on the table. You know, whether it's a George Pickens or a Rashad Bateman, we talked about those as far as trade targets. There's trade targets around the league. And I think that's what Dallas is really trying to sort through at the moment to try to find that established number two. But if they can't, I think Amari Cooper is their safe fallback option. I say fallback because they still feel confident that Amari Cooper can be a number two, that he can be a productive wide receiver in the league. And if you're looking at Amari Cooper's market, it's not that strong. So I feel like they could get it at a pretty good price, and they can move forward with it.
So does the rest of the league think he could be a number two still?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's I'm not confident in that just based on what happened last year with him. Going back to 2023, obviously he had a pretty strong season with Cleveland, but you wonder if maybe he just never had his feet right in Cleveland with the quarterback change and all the drama going on there, and then he gets to Buffalo, Keon Coleman starts to emerge, Khalil Shakir begins to emerge almost as soon as he gets there. He dealt with an injury as soon as he got there, so it took him a while to get on the field, and then all of a sudden he has free agent market. So it's not really like he had any time to really get his feet rolling, but you have to take that for what it is, especially at the wide receiver position with the age that he is. It's certainly a factor in this whole ordeal too.
What are the chances that we roll into training camp and they're just going to roll with the receivers that they have, and they say Jonathan Mingo is going to get the shot at number 2?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. At least as far as the people that are pushing behind the doors for this to get addressed, for them to get a number 2 wide receiver. My question is, does it happen before OTAs? Does it happen before mandatory minicamp in early June? OTAs start on May 19th. Obviously, the comp pick formula has been worked out as of Monday at 4 p.m. So they can work toward finding a free agent if they do want to pull the trigger on an Amari Cooper or a Keenan Allen or one of these other names that are available. But I think they're doing their due diligence in the trade market right now. And they
going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
They feel selectively aggressive in that trade market right now. I'll tell you that there have been names that they have done research on, they've done homework on. Obviously, nothing has just come to fruition yet.
On the McMillan front, he was their top guy, but this is something we were discussing actually yesterday on the draft show, the wrap up. You weren't able to make it. I know Zach was banned by football ops from being in the building at the same time as Jay Toyia.
Yeah.
But with the Tet McMillan pick, I think a lot of people we haven't discussed a whole lot this angle of. McMillan, I don't think, was so much higher than Booker actually on their board. Like, I think they had Booker graded similarly. It's just the need was there with receiver that would have just made it such a slam dunk. But for people who are maybe upset with the Booker pick, like, and really wanted McMillan, this is a player they got that the Cowboys graded similarly to McMillan.
Booker is a dude, and you could see it from that introductory press conference he had on Friday. And if you haven't had the opportunity to go listen to that or watch that, I mean, it's an impressive young man. You understand how they graded him so high character-wise, and then you see him on the field too, and you understand why they graded him so high from a play perspective. I mean, they're expecting him to come in and start day one at right guard, and there's nothing to think that he can't do that.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you didn't like the Tyler Booker pick, just listen to him speak. And he'll win you over. I wanted to throw a trade name out there for you guys that maybe we haven't talked about as much.
It's got to be for a fourth rounder, though. That's all we
okay.
do.
Okay, well, you know,
be for a fourth.
The way that I would do this, it might be actually you send a player to this team just to kind of get the contracts ready to go. And there's nothing of substance to this at all.
You're trying to trade Jay Toyia already?
No. JT's my guy. I don't want him going anywhere.
Jeez.
This would be
my guy.
DJ,
we'll see what he thinks
my
about
guy.
That.
We're going to become best friends. Don't worry about it. I'm going to learn this dance, and it's going to be awesome. DJ Moore in Chicago. They just drafted Luther Burden. They've got Roma Dunze. DJ Moore is a name that they've kind of thrown out there as possibly a guy that could be on the market. I believe the Cowboys had him graded pretty highly in that 2018 class when they ended up taking Leighton Vander Esch. Now, that is a contract. You are going to be picking up a big salary.
Yeah.
Corner is thin. But Trayvon Diggs, in my opinion, is a player that if he were healthy, I think they already would have tried, if not moved him. Is that possibly maybe you talk about a player for player? Cowboys probably have to throw in a little bit extra because you have an injured guy there that we're not sure when he's officially going to get back. But maybe it's not even, hey, Diggs is involved in this at all. But out of the options, I know George Pickens has been thrown out there. Some have talked about Cortland Sutton. I know the return we talked about was foolish on that. But DJ Moore kind of is the most intriguing name for me if they were to try and trade for somebody.
Yeah, he has the $27.5 million APY average per year. Year that would be really tough on the Cowboys books this year. Now you're throwing the proposition at me of trading Diggs in that sense. I don't see Chicago taking that just because they don't need Diggs, and especially they don't need an injured guy to take from DJ Moore.
What about Guyton? Yeah, I mean, if you want to get really crazy, Guyton.
I don't, if you're Chicago, are you doing that in your right mind?
I mean, if Chicago needs offensive line help and they say it's a
year. I don't think
year.
They need it that bad.
Well, okay, so I'm gonna defend Tyler Guyton a little bit.
I'm not pooping on Tyler Guyton.
No,
just,
I know.
This is DJ Moore.
No, we're talking about a really high-quality receiver.
Guyton and a fourth or Guyton and a third or something like that.
Yeah, I
was looking at Diggs and a four.
Yeah, I'd rather just give up a two at that point.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, I would rather just give up a two for an established receiver.
Would a two get it done?
And a guy that will be here 4 or 5 years, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Would a two get that done, though?
DJ Moore?
Yeah.
That would be tough. I mean, the contract number maybe, because you could be like, hey, you're going to have to pay this guy. You're going to have to pay that guy. You know, DJ Moore, if you want to offload those books. But you look at their receiving core last year, it was DJ Moore leading the way. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if Chicago's ready to part with him.
Why have the Cowboys found themselves, do you think, in this position so much over the last 20 years where it's they need to go make a big trade for – I mean, just go back to the start of the 2000s, the trade that ruined Brian Broaddus's potential to rebuild the Cowboys through the draft. You trade for Joey Galloway two first-round picks. Then it was Roy Williams for first-rounders. Then they were willing to pony up the money for Amari Cooper, yeah, sending a first-rounder. Mm-hmm. They've always been willing to pay that tax on the receiver position. But why have they, in these intervals of about 8 years, it seems like, because here we are at another one, why have they been stuck in this position of like, we are in a jam and we need to trade big capital for a receiver?
Yeah, I don't know if I have an answer for you there. I think maybe there's part of it where it's like, okay, maybe they're not getting ahead on these needs as quickly as they should. I mean, we could be looking at the corner position right now, right? And you see on the horizon, hey, Deron Bland is going to be out of his contract coming out of next season. Trayvon Diggs, is he going to be fully healthy? I mean, that would be something that, hey, look around, if you weren't discussing a wide receiver situation right now, you could look around and be like, hey, let's get ahead on this corner situation. I think they're just kind of always playing behind the eight ball in some instances there. But, you know, you mentioned the Amari Cooper ordeal, and that was in 2018. And at the very least, Amari Cooper is already factoring into their thought process here because they waited until midseason to do that. They're trying to get ahead of this before the training camp even starts so that they have that established core ready to go and they can roll into 2025 with whoever the Robin is to see these Batman.
A big complaint, too, was they just haven't taken a lot of wide receivers high in the draft. I mean, it's been Dez and CeeDee Lamb. But otherwise, what other first-round wide receivers have they really targeted, yeah, or even second-round receivers?
And, I mean, they've always really liked guys. Like, they liked McMillan this year. They weren't able to get him. They loved Drake London a couple years ago. He wasn't able to get to him. In fact, to that point where people say, I really wish they would have drafted a wide receiver somewhere in the first three rounds. Is it just a case where they found themselves in basically a purgatory position on the draft board,
yeah,
where it's like, yeah, if McMillan gets to 12, we're taking McMillan. If Burden gets to 44, we're taking Burden. If, I don't know, Besh. If Besh, mm-hmm, gets to 76, we're taking Besh. Like, is it a case just where the Cowboys just had bad luck with the way the board fell, being in their draft position?
Yeah, you talk about reaching and picking a wide receiver at any point for the Cowboys, other than that fifth round spot, which I think Nick Eatman said yesterday, Keandre Lambert-Smith was the target there in the back end of the fifth round out of Auburn. That one would have been fun to add to this offense, but other than that selection, you would have been reaching at that position anywhere else. And you know, we've given credit to the scouting department and to this front office for sticking to their board during this draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's why they have such a strong class, but they still have to address this receiver spot, and the guys they have on the team right now are not going to be that.
Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star Telegram, with us here, Sean and RJ, live in Anna, Firehouse Stop number 2.
305 South Powell Parkway. If you want to come out, still get some Whataburger and some giveaways. The question at rookie minicamp Friday, Saturday of this week, is there anything that you've got an intrigue for, whether it be in any of the undrafted free agents, or to see, do you think potentially the Cowboys are seeing, all right, how does this group of players play out before next week we decide to do anything on the front of going and getting depth at receiver or corner or anywhere else?
Yeah, rookie minicamp is fascinating for me for the undrafted guys is because I'm looking at a couple already going into the weekend. A, Elijah Clark out of Syracuse. They gave him the third most guaranteed money of any undrafted free agent in the NFL. That almost certainly tells you, hey, he's got an inside track at getting a 53-man spot on the roster after training camp. Brevin Spanford had the same situation last year. Hunter Lipke had it the year before that, and both of those guys made the 53. So that's me kind of theorizing in my head. It's like, okay, then what are they thinking at the safety position? Yeah. Or is he a versatile guy?
And just to add on to that, they love Clark.
Yeah,
and Clark, they really like Clark.
Stephen Jones said in his presser, or they said in the day three presser after it was all said and done, that they signed or they agreed to terms at that point with their highest rated undrafted free agent ever. And it was Elijah,
wow,
Clark. So I would have to assume, this is me just assuming, that he had probably a fifth on that their board, maybe a late fourth. I mean, I would have to assume like the highest ever.
Jackson,
I know
Carman,
Romo was a fifth.
Jackson Carman was a fourth,
okay,
I think, for them. Okay. So that would be wild.
Wow.
Or
yeah,
Stephen's misremembering.
That would be wild. It had been 3 days by that point. His voice was hoarse, yeah, on day one.
I mean,
yeah, forget,
yeah, 35 years of draft boards, too. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, there's also some big business marketing going on there, too. I'm looking at Elijah Clark, and then I'm looking at Bruce Harmon out of Stephen F. Austin coming into this corner situation. You know, does he have any shot at being a depth corner on this roster. They're dealing with a lot of injuries at that position, not only Trayvon Diggs, but Josh Butler they're trying to get back. But not a lot of confidence in Andrew Booth. So it's where does the depth of that corner spot go? That's a guy I'm looking at to potentially make some noise.
When it comes to the name Isaiah Bond, I think that is the name that we've gotten a ton of questions on. G-Bag, the Texas coming in now, Twitter as well. You know about
Texas receiver.
Yeah, Texas wide receiver that went undrafted.
Right.
Was supposed to be their number one, and then obviously Matthew Golden kind of ended up taking that role as the season went on. You covered him as a recruit coming out of high school. Obviously know him very, very well. What is it with Isaiah Bond right now? Why the league seems to be like, we're going to stay away.
Yeah, awaiting the finality of the situation that he's dealing with the sexual assault allegation. And I think one thing to note where as it pertains to the Cowboys is this allegation happened in the city of Frisco. The Cowboys have an inside track at getting the details of this case more than any other team in the league. So if it hadn't happened by now for the Cowboys, I don't think it's going to. And on top of that, even before this, Isaiah Bond had some concerns coming into the draft process. You know, there are some things, you know, just from his time at Texas and Alabama that teams are like, I think we're good. And, you know, the type of guy that Brian Schottenheimer has said and has proven to be adding to this team over the course of the last few months, I don't know if Bond fits that mold.